But first, speaking of scary,
we thought we'd come up with the scariest thing that's ever happened to us. And the first thing I thought of is the only thing that really stands out from my childhood. And I think the things that scare you the most are the ones that play to your fears. And I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up, one of the biggest fears I had that someone was going to break into our house while we were sleeping. And this goes back to when I was living in Wheaton, Illinois. I was about 9, maybe 10 years old, and I'm the youngest of 5, so by the time I turned 8, 9, all my brothers and sisters were out of the house and they were at college, so I was the only one at home. So when we lived in Wheaton, we had a split-level home where you walk in, you have a foyer, and then you go up like 7 or 8 steps, and there's the upstairs, and then you go down 7 or 8 steps, and there's the basement or lower level. And the boys' bedroom that I used to share with my brothers when they were home in the summer, that was downstairs. But in the wintertime, it was really cold. Plus, I was the only one home. I was like 8, 9 years old. It was the wintertime. I wanted to be closer to my parents, so I would sleep upstairs in a bedroom that was just right around the hallway, just down the hallway from my parents' bedroom. So it was really weird because this one night I could not fall asleep, and I was just staring at the ceiling, probably going over through scary scenarios in my head, like, did I hear a noise? You know how you always hear that? It seems like it happens in the wintertime more, too, that you hear noises. And that's another reason why I would go upstairs. Seems like you hear heard a lot more noises downstairs, because I guess that's where the furnace was. And you'd always wonder, you know, if that's, is that a prowler? Well, for whatever reason, I could not fall asleep. And I'm looking up at the ceiling, and all of a sudden, I see headlights, like, shine through the window. And back behind our house, we had a swim/tennis club that was open in the summer months.
Ah, that's where you met Marge.
Okay, we'll go with that just for now, just to save time.
Somebody call my name!
No, we didn't call your name.
Hi, George!
No, we didn't call your name. So we had tennis courts and then a swim club that was closed in the wintertime. So it had long been closed, and there's no reason for anyone to go to the swim club. It's about 100 yards away from our house. And I looked out the window, and I saw a car turn its lights off, drive a little bit further, and then stop. I thought, wow, that's weird. And it's late. It's probably midnight. I have no idea. It's a school night. I have no idea why I'm still up, but I'm just up. And then I think, okay, well, surely they're about to get back onto Butterfield Road and drive off.
Generic.
That was the road behind Fairwind.
Generic. Fairwind. Take a right on Fairwind and a left on Butterfield.
Yeah, it was the swim club, Fairwind. Eh? So, and I didn't see anything. I thought, man, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, about 50 yards away from the car, headed towards our house, I saw a flashlight shining on the ground and moving back and forth. Thought, oh my gosh, they're coming towards our house. So I went in and woke up my dad, tried to explain what was going on. And why is it that parents always give the brush off of, oh, don't, it's probably someone looking for something. I know, but why are they looking for something in the middle of the night and they got a flashlight and they're coming towards our house? So finally, I convinced him to come into the bedroom and we looked out the window and he saw it. And now it's closer and the light's going off for a little bit, going back and forth. And then they would turn the flashlight off and it's getting closer.
Hmm.
So then my dad turned on the light and called the police. And then I looked out the window and I thought, wait, I don't want him to see me because the light's on. So as soon as my dad got off the phone, I said, turn the light off. And we looked out and we saw the car pulling away. He saw the light and pulled away. Police came out, went out in the snow. That's the other thing. It had just snowed like the day before. And he came back, and I did not go to sleep. I waited for the police officer to come back, and he said, yeah, we saw tire tracks, and there are some footprints out there that ended at your backyard, and then they doubled back and went to the car.
Hmm.
So there was someone out there. I guess it would have been scarier had they not left any footprints. It could have been a ghost.
What do you think they wanted?
I don't know, but that is weird. Why would someone...
Your soul?
Maybe they're coming after my soul. But that was right to my fear. There was no doubt in my mind that guy was going to our house and he was going to break in.
Well, if he came right up to your back gate or just fence?
We didn't have a fence going across the back of the yard. There was no fence. So just the edge of our property. And that's I guess about the time we turned on the light.
So he walked up to the back of your property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then turned around.
Yeah. Well, it looks like he was.
He was headed.
Coming to break in.
To break in.
He was probably going to kidnap you.
Mm-hmm.
This was about the time of John Wayne Gacy and all of his work in Chicago in that area.
Wow.
Could have been him.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's confirmed now.
Just because the timeline matches up.
Yes.
But I just remember that was... I can never really remember a time of being scared, but I was... I remember my heart just beating out of my chest when I saw that flashlight going towards our house. And it was, like, really difficult to explain to my dad. There's a guy and a flashlight and it's going towards our house. And then I probably made no sense to him whatsoever, but at least got him to get out of bed and call the police. What if he hadn't? What if he hadn't believed me to just give him the parent brush off and maybe I wouldn't be here today?
That's right. You would have a mohawk on a different radio station.
Without
a soul.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. I'd be working for another station.
And you wouldn't have a soul because they would have stolen it that night.
Or another station would have stolen my soul if I wasn't working at the ticket. So that's my scary Halloween story. You got one?
Me next? You want me to go next?
Or Junior, either one.
Junior, you want to go next?
No, go ahead, Gordo.
Okay, so my scary story happened when I was a kid in elementary school. I think this happened around third grade.
Okay.
And it was approaching Halloween. We were in the month of October. I used to like to scare myself by listening to a very creepy record. It was called the... Chilling and Haunting Sounds. Let me see if I can get this right.
Is this what you just tweeted?
Yes, that's the cover of the album.
You tried to scare yourself?
It's called The Chilling, Thrilling Sounds of the Haunted House. It was an album released by Disneyland Records intended for, quote, older children, teenagers, and adults. I didn't tell Walt Disney that I was only in third grade.
He wasn't actually checking. Look what that tombstone says on the album cover.
What does it say?
Here lies most terrific collection of recorded songs.
Yeah, it's not songs, though.
Sounds.
Yeah.
Most terrific collection.
Yes. It's terrific in the sense of terror.
And you would listen to this to try to scare yourself.
Yes, and now when you listen to it, I don't think it's quite as scary as I remembered it. Okay, pull up the computer here, Jaron. I'll play you a little bit of this.
You are a bold and courageous person, afraid of nothing. High on a hilltop near your home, there stands a dilapidated old mansion. Some say the place is haunted, but you don't believe in such myths. One dark and stormy night, a light appears in the topmost window in the tower of the old house. You decide to investigate, and you never return.
What a scary story. It always felt like there was something missing from that story, and you never return. What happened?
Yeah, what was missing was a storyline.
Yeah, a story. But there's just all these sound effects, so you listen to a bunch of creepy sound effects.
What a terrific sounds.
Yeah. And in my room listening to this. Okay. And
completely
I'm listening
dark.
To it on a record player. No, the top light was on.
Okay.
It was at night. And I'm by myself in this room, even though I shared it with my big brother. He was gone somewhere, probably just slaying it, probably just ruling the world as I was the loser who was at home. And all of a sudden, this record that I'm playing, the needle starts moving across the album on its own. Just. So all these scary sounds stopped, and the record just the needle starts moving on its own. And I'm like, okay, that's weird, but it's a mechanical malfunction, right? Yeah. It's a record. So I go and I set the needle back on the record.
Oh.
needle starts moving across the record again.
No way.
I'm thinking, all right, it's nothing to be freaked out about. My heart's not thumping or anything. It's just a record. It must be some new scratch on the record that's making it go across. I hear that on the window. My window. I only have one window to my bedroom. And I hear a pounding on it.
Seriously?
Yes.
That would have sent me through the roof.
Right at that moment when the second time that the needle scratched across the record and I'm going back over to reset it, that happens.
Wow.
Banging on my window. It was three big bangs. And then I, of course, go and turn off the light and I creep over to the window and I look out there. There's nothing there. And I can see in our backyard, and no one had time to. If they were running away, I would have seen them. But there was nobody running away.
Man.
Go and tell the parents.
Nobody.
Well, son, you're about as drunk as I am.
Okay.
That's added detail. That's not really true.
Don't do that to your parents.
I know. No, they. My dad came, looked at it, looked outside. He did the comforting thing of, I'm investigating. There's nothing out here. We go and we walk in the backyard in the darkness and stand out in front of the my window. Nothing there. And then we go back to bed. But, of course, I was very, very scared.
How could you go back to sleep
after
that?
Very creeped out by this. Okay. The next day, after school, in the daylight, I decide, well, I'm going to just go check it one more time out by the window. And maybe I can figure out how they got back here behind the bushes, between the window and the bushes, and were knocking on my window to scare me, because it's probably just some high school kids. And I walked back there behind the window. And there were two cigarette butts that had been put out right back there.
Wow.
Whoa. Smoking ghosts.
That's my scary story.
Dude, that
you know
is
what?
Scary.
I'm really surprised that when you heard banging on the window that you went over to the window to look out. Like, I would not have...
No.
I would have run out of the room. There's no way I would have opened the curtains or looked out because I would be afraid they would grab me.
My first thought was that this is one of my friends pranking me and I'm going to bust them.
Or your brother since he was gone?
Right. Right.
Okay.
But it wasn't.
And your brother said he didn't put the cigarette butts there just to try to really freak you out or anything?
No. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until years later when a mysterious stranger came to visit me in the second year of the ticket up at our studios and said, Gordon? I said, yes. Did you used to live in Gulfport, Mississippi? Yes, I did. I've said that on the air many times. Did you used to live at... And then he gave the address. I said, yes. And he goes... My name is the ghost of Ted Bundy.
What?
And that's when I found out who had been standing outside my window.
Did he
the
also
last
ask,
part's added on.
Did he also ask, did you used to listen to a Spare Halloween album?
A certain Spare Halloween album.
That wasn't really that scary in hindsight.
Uh-huh. How crazy is that? And
that's
then
spooky.
I remember the next track on that record was called The Long Fuse. And I remember thinking that this one was kind of spare and not so scary. Tell me what you think.
Of course, you know what a fuse is. It's a long piece of cord impregnated with gunpowder. When you strike a match and light it, it burns fitfully, sputteringly to its end, at which there is a little surprise.
Let's go for 8 minutes.
No, if I was doing the album, it would.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's almost gone out. I will blow it into life.
Holy cow. Longest fuse ever.
Poof. He You thought there was going to be a huge explosion, didn't you?
And then she was killed.
You hear her screaming.
Yes.
How'd your parents let you listen to that?
They did. They let me listen to this.
It'd scare every third grader.
And we used to put this on a turntable up in our front window for when kids would come up trick-or-treating. We'd be playing all these scary sounds, and they'd hear the long fuse and the woman,
oh, you thought there was going to be a huge explosion, didn't you?
Her hands get blown off and her face is up in a tree.
What a great album.
That's the worst album ever.
Terrific sounds.
It scared the hell out of me. That's my scary story.
That's a good one.
All right, I'll go next. My scariest moment was set up by my second scariest moment.
Huh.
So the second scariest moment happened when I was five. First grade, coming home from school, my mom had picked us up. And I guess just me, my sister wasn't in school at the time, but she was in the car. And we come back to our house and we come up the driveway and my mom says, wow, I left the garage door open. And I was like, huh, okay. I'm just trying to process this as a five-year-old. We get out of the car and we walk into the garage. It's open. And then the door into the house is open. And she said, I didn't leave this. She was real confused. And we go in to the house, and you would walk into the kitchen, and just to the right was the living room. And the first thing we saw was a big empty space where our console, stereo, TV, or whatever used to be.
It was missing.
It was stolen.
Somebody wanted its soul.
And my mom, I think, starts yelling something like, oh my God, we've been robbed. And my first thought is, wait, okay, somebody came into our house that doesn't live here. They may still be here. Mm-hmm. So I got really freaked out. I'm five, and I'm thinking someone's in one of the bedrooms. So I think I ran outside.
So you're the only one thinking logically here.
I think so. She may have told us to go outside and wait because she may have thought someone was in the house, but she went over to the phone and called the police. A couple minutes later, the police arrive. They go through the house, and they tell us, okay, nobody's here. You want to file a police report for theft. And I'm saying, are you sure nobody's here? Did you check under my bed?
Check, kid. You want to file a report or not?
That's the first place you check.
Did you check in the closet, all this stuff? So the next few nights were awful because I was convinced somebody was still in the house. So for the next couple of years, I'm living with that thought. And every time I would come home, I would wonder if someone was in the house. Or every time we'd leave, I would think we were going to be robbed. And so I was always imagining that intruders were about to happen. So fast forward about 3 years. I'm now in maybe third, fourth grade, somewhere in there. I'm about 8 years old. And I may have faked being sick that day just to get a free day home from school. I can't remember. But it's about 10:30, 11 in the morning, and I'm on the couch. And I briefly told you guys this story a couple of weeks ago. But I'm on the couch, and I've got a blanket over me, and I'm watching Price is Right or something, some game show. That's back when you had three stations. And as I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, in the house, in another room, I hear a very loud thump, a big bang, like something fell or a commotion or somebody knocked something over. And here I am, 8 years old, and I just freeze. And in hindsight, it felt like I was frozen in place for about an hour. Like I didn't want to move. I thought somebody's in the house because I have this experience of people breaking into our house. So I'm thinking somebody is in the house. What do I do? And my first inclination was to just
hide under a blanket.
Was to hide under a blanket motionless. If I'm motionless, they won't think anybody's under here.
That's a good plan.
Robbers are motion sensitive.
Yes. So I froze, and then after about what seemed like 30 minutes, it was probably 3 minutes, I said, I've got to call the cops. So I crept over to the kitchen, picked up the phone, and I pressed zero and told the operator, I need the police, somebody's in the house. But I remember, I need the police, somebody's in the house.
Yeah, you can't.
I can't talk to
you. Sorry, sir, you're going to have to talk louder. I cannot understand you.
They're going
to
hear me.
I can't
talk
understand
louder.
You. If you're not going to talk louder, I'm going to hang up.
And I can't remember if it was the operator that interrogated me or the police dispatch, but they were asking me what. I said, I heard they're in the living room.
They're what?
They are in the living room.
You're do what?
I am in the kitchen.
You need some mushrooms.
You need to send somebody over.
Uh-huh.
So he's pretty quickly, the Oklahoma City police arrived. Very mm-hmm. fine police force.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it was 3 or 4 minutes later, knock on the door, and I'm thinking, okay, I've got to go through the living room to get to the door. And so I sprint through there,
mm-hmm.
answer the door. I said, now I felt free to talk loudly.
Right.
They're in here. Somebody's in here. I heard a loud thud. Somebody knocked something over. So they start looking through the house, and they quickly determined that we had this mail slot that the mail, when it was dumped through by the mailman, would fall onto the floor. And that day, they had deposited a couple of envelopes or whatever in the mail slot, plus a big box that was a free toothpaste sample. And so that made it a louder right. thud. It was a heavier object right. coming through. And I wasn't thinking clearly. I uh-huh. didn't think, oh, maybe that was the mail making that noise. But they said, I think my mom came home from work. They called uh-huh. her, or I called her.
But you spent at least an hour in absolute terror.
In absolute terror. I also wasted city resources. Mm-hmm. I took my mom from her job home. It was just like a complete...
probably scared her.
The whole thing was, I felt like the biggest right. 8-year-old idiot.
And then you explained to him, yeah, because what happened was like 5 years ago, it was when we had another one and the door was open and everything, and then a police officer came and investigated, and it was Officer Ronald Williams, and he investigated... Who? Ronald Williams?
We've never had a police officer by that name, sir.
Dun, dun! That's easily the most scared I've ever been in my life.
Wow. Terror.